This podcast is brought to you by Labyrinth Marketing. Hello and welcome to the Whole Marketers podcast. Today's guest is Meredith from the Meredith Collective, and today's topic or technical skill is going to be around communications. The reason I've invited Meredith today is she is an expert in building experiences that disrupt and build connection with between consumers and their brands, which now has never been more the time to do so. COVID-19 has meant that we have lost our in-store or brand experience opportunity. If I think back to when I started marketing, it used to take 2 weeks roughly to get a consumer to take action. We used to follow the model awareness, interest, desire and action, starting with above the line comms, moving to through the line, below the line, interest and outlet, with the expectation that then a consumer would take action. Whereas now in digital age, we are looking at end-to-end platforms on Instagram, potentially taking 19 seconds, I think I timed it the other day, from seeing something pop up on your feed to actually taking action to purchase that item. But what's missing there is that brand experience. So what I wanted to do was welcome Meredith from the Meredith Collective onto the podcast so we can talk about what it really takes to build brand connection and experiences first, if you will, with consumers today. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you so much for having me on, Abby.
Oh, my pleasure. So, Meredith, do you want to explain a little bit about what you do and about the brands that you work on?
Yeah, essentially what I do is I look at how brands can create real human connections with their customers and potential customers, and how they can communicate their brand stories and how they can ultimately develop raving fans that want to come back to them time and time again. And as most people know, into the future, while there's an increased range of things that we can purchase and ways that we can live our lives, brands that have an emotional connection with people are the ones that generate real cut through and then have a sustainable kind of lifespan. And I help brands navigate how they're going to do that in a way that's authentic, that creates impact, and ultimately impacts their bottom line. I'm also advise brands on how they can have a more sustainable model. So essentially assisting them to understand the experience economy. Now, the experience economy is the next thing up from the service economy, which means you can charge more for something because you have an experience wrapped around it. And that way we can sell less stuff but still generate revenue. So when we're looking at sustainability and how we can help the planet in the longer term, creating an experience-based model is something that's incredibly valuable for everybody. In terms of the brands that I work with, it's a real range. Everybody from Unilever right through to luxury brands like Manolo Blahnik, Rolls-Royce, a real selection, Whirlpool. So I mostly help people that have a D2C offering, and that's something which is becoming increasingly important in a post-COVID world. Wholesaling and going through other channels is something that's been incredibly affected, and brands are really looking to how they can directly communicate with consumers. And that's what I'm helping people with.
That's just perfect. I think especially as times have changed, you know, we've moved from, I think you and I were chatting over a coffee the other day, I say the other day, pre-COVID, just to be clear for everybody, between how things have changed from the 4 P's to the 4 E's. You know, we talk about product, place, price and promotion, and we know that that product is being looked at as an experience. People are wanting to buy that experience, that exchange instead. As you say, an experience economy, no longer that kind of a service economy. So what do you think's driven this change in consumers' purchase behaviour?
I think it's been a combination of the development of retail over time. Ultimately, when you have the ability to purchase things online, you can purchase things incredibly rapidly, as you just said. And that basically differentiates the things we buy into the things that bring us joy and happiness and make us feel something about who we are as people. Mm. And then the things that are convenient. So ultimately, if you're buying something which is a functional item, you don't need to have an experience attached to that. You just want to have it at the best possible price in the quickest way possible. And that's something that you can do in a very transactional way. And that is increasing. So you have people like Amazon that are offering incredibly, you know, we can get things incredibly quickly at an incredibly good price. And it's very competitive at that end of the market. Where I look at is things that we buy because they make us feel something about who we are as people, and they let the world know that we're who we are as people. And those are the things that should have an experience attached around them. Because ultimately, if they don't, they will get lost and they won't be able to kind of get in front of people and people won't care.
No, completely. And I think we know that consumers today are looking for brands that reflect their aspirations, their dreams, the vision of who they want to become, not necessarily who they are now. And that's really hard to do if you're hanging around in that transactional world.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. When you think about experiences, often people think about things that are incredibly fancy and incredibly complicated. But actually, putting an experience around something which is intrinsically could be perceived as a slightly boring item. So washing machines, for example. When I worked with Whirlpool, they were looking to reposition themselves at a slightly higher end of the market. And they actually had the quietest machine on the market. So something that had the quietest spin cycle, which doesn't sound that interesting. But then when you think, OK, who wants something with a very, very quiet spin cycle? Where we looked to target was urban people that lived in flats in urban environments that might want to have a social life. So they might want to have a cocktail party going on and their washing machine going on at the same time. And therefore, they don't want a loud washing machine. So we threw an event where there were washing machines that were working and there was a party happening at the same time. So it's a very visceral way of showing the benefits of a product. And it's fun and people remember it.
As opposed to saying, you know, quiet cycle or the decibels or kind of focusing on that product function. It's about, you know, the benefit that that brings you. And also, as you say, the aspiration, you know, those people that are having cocktail parties. God, I'd love to be one of those.
The dream back
the
in the
dream,
day.
The dream, eh?
Yeah, but if you're going to sell a washing machine that's like £1,000, then really you need to be thinking of innovative ways of selling it and communicating these items. Traditionally, they would have been marketed into trade magazines. I don't know about the decibels of a washing machine, really. Like, I wouldn't know how to compare them. But if you see it happening there, you suddenly want it. It becomes desirable. It becomes something that says, I'm the sort of person that throws cocktail parties, even if you don't.
Yeah, it plays the aspirational piece, definitely. Mm. And there's a great picture of you on your website sitting on that said washing machine, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
You definitely are the person behind your brand, that's for sure. I love that. Love, love, love. So we were chatting once again. We chat a lot, in case people haven't realised that on the podcast, about creativity. Mm. And obviously to come up with these awesome experiences, creativity as a skill is something that you have to have. What do you think creativity means for marketers today?
I think it's difficult because I think words like creativity, innovation, even experience get bandied around a lot. And it's hard to define what those things are. You know, on one end of the kind of scale, you might think of creativity as somebody that creates art or is, you know, or can create things with their hands. Where creativity kind of, in the sense that we're using here, is much more the Steve Jobs definition, which is somebody that brings ideas together that hadn't previously been placed next to each other, but seems so obvious. He always said that creatives don't think that they're creative because it seems like they put something together that already existed, but it's actually new. So creativity really is about understanding the world around us and seeing connections. And I think to be creative is about being in the world, is about seeing things, being out there. I once spoke to somebody that was looking at a brief for a PR agency that will remain nameless. And he said to me, I'm going to go away and I need to come up with some ideas and I'm going to go and sit in a dark room and come up with some ideas around this brief. And I said to him, that's the worst possible thing you could do. What you need to do is you need to go out for a walk, you need to go to a bar, you need to go and see something, because that's how you spark creativity, is by inhabiting the world around you and seeing what's out there.
Yeah, having that variety of different stimulus, taking that different journey, sitting in a different environment, reading a different material to what you'd normally read. Because I suppose you're only as good as your last stimulus.
Yeah, you have to be constantly curious. So I think somebody who's really creative or perceived to be very creative is constantly curious. They constantly want to find out new things and delighted by the things that they discover. I constantly bore my friends and family because I'll read a book on something random and then just talk about it for a week and be like, oh my God, did you know? And I think it's having that curiosity that sparks creativity. It also helps. I've been listening to some people talk about creativity during the lockdown, and a lot of people are struggling because they don't have as many stimuli as they normally would at this time. You know, normally during the week, I'd be going to the theatre and going to the cinema and visiting new venues and going to experiences. And that's all become two dimensional and is only being able to consume through books and what we're watching on screens. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out post-lockdown.
It will. It massively will. And it's so interesting that you say that about being curious, because literally that was the chapter I'm writing about. And, you know, it's marketers that aren't curious that really worry me. It's those that don't people watch, that don't necessarily look out, you know, try and work out who someone is, why they're doing what they're doing. Because, you know, insight comes, or connection with our consumers comes from asking why. Why are they doing that? Why? And if you're not curious, I would question whether you're ever going to kind of get below that surface action of what they're doing to really understand why they're doing it. And that's where the emotional connection comes from. That's where insight comes from. And without that, we're never really going to build that emotional connection with our consumers.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with marketing. I mean, I don't have a marketing background. I come from a hospitality background. And I think that has meant that I'm much more used to dealing with people and understanding what drives people and the emotional connections between people. And I think there's a real clash sometimes with marketing between the figures and then the gut instinct about what trends might be happening and what people actually want, and bringing those two things together. And both are equally valid, both are very important, and they can feed into each other. But if you sit too heavily in one camp, then you're not going to see the bigger picture. So you need to know the data, you need to understand, you need to test, you need to have all that information. But ultimately, when you're thinking about how you can connect with people, it's emotional, and there is a gut instinct there. And so design of experiences or strategy by committee is often the worst thing that can happen, because ideas get diluted so rapidly. So I think having somebody in your team that is incredibly innovative, that is thinking, you know, is coming kind of almost to the point where you think, oh my God, they're a bit crazy, that's really helpful, because they're going to drive you forward in a way that is challenging and interesting and dynamic. And that's where future brands need to be.
Well, that plays us quite nicely to my next question, which is, you know, if that's where marketers need to be, maybe a little bit crazy, although I do love commercial numbers, as you know, to prove any given idea. You know, we are there to lead the commercial agenda of any organisation, so numbers do have to have a play, but as does conviction. And, you know, as we were saying earlier, if you've got that deep understanding about who your consumers are to the point that you can feel it in your soul because you're so immersed in what they're doing and why they're doing it and what drives them and their dreams and their aspirations, I suppose there's got to be an air of conviction behind that to just go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that essentially, when you think about advertising agencies, you think of a creative director who's there, who's the one that's standing by things and driving through not new ideas, and this kind of the friction that's talked about between, you know, creatives within advertising industries coming in and speaking to brands and marketeers and them not understanding the idea. And I think actually that within brands, they should have somebody within their organisation, or at the very least a consultant who fulfills that role. I believe the brands that don't have a creative director of some form internally, or somebody who's plugging directly into them rather than via a kind of a larger agency, is going to be missing out. That's not where the future is. The future is about incorporating a little bit of that. Unless, of course, you want to just sell widgets, in which case that's fine. You know, there's other companies and, you know, that do that. But actually, when we're talking about these brands that are the ones that people care about, that are going to get, you know, column inches in magazines, that are going to get, you know, that are going to sell themselves essentially at the end point, you need to have some creativity and some kind of design focus around that strategy.
Yeah, the brands that consumers want to have a relationship with.
Yeah, absolutely.
An emotional one.
Yeah, exactly.
So which brands do you think are doing that well?
At the moment, there's some interesting ones, certainly in America. There's like Casper mattresses that have got a really interesting strategy with the way that they're operating. They have a really good kind of online to offline consumer journey, and it's all very seamless, and you can go into their stores and they have pajamas that you can put it on to try out the beds, and they have headsets that you can put on with the Headspace meditation apps. And it all links up with their online journey where most of their purchases are made. So they've really thought about the whole journey. And I think people that separate out online and offline, I digress slightly, but that's also like the wrong way to be thinking about marketing and retail and channels and things like that. All of those walls, all of those silos are coming down in the future. So they're a really interesting brand to look at. There's emerging people like, you know, the Museum of Ice Cream that call themselves, it's a combination of like retail and experiencepreneurs or something, some word they've created. But it's really interesting in terms of it's incredibly Instagrammable. It's really innovative. And what they need to do is they need to just enhance their whole retail offering around that. But I think someone will be coming after the Museum of Ice Cream to offer some really interesting retail experiences. Other people that are doing it really well. My mind always goes blank with these questions.
I think that's a fair blank in the sense that, you know, most experiences have been done for PR or coverage. I don't think they've always been done so that the consumer can truly immerse themselves in the brand. You know, I can think of a handful of ones like the Magnum.
Experience
or Bombay, Bombay Sapphire. I mean, they're just a few that come to my head. But yeah, look, I mean, we're sat here talking about them, so the long-lasting impression that they've had is still there.
Yeah, I think the drinks industry has always been a pioneer because they are essentially kind of quite an experience-based like product anyway, mm-hmm. because you have to taste them, and they, when you think about Diageo talking about liquid on lips, has always been their kind of their big ethos around any activations that they do, and ultimately their marketing, and they want to get you to taste their product, and that in itself is an experiential strategy. And so drinks brands have always been very, very cutting edge, and when you think about as you said, there's Hendrix Gin has always done really, really interesting things. They created at King's Cross, they did an advertising campaign where they had their vinyl advertising all the way down through a tunnel, and then had scent, which was blown out, so that people had the fully immersive experience as they walked through to the tube station. Now, that's a really, really interesting thing to be doing, and it's thinking in a really creative way. Unilever, also absolutely excellent. They have put experiential at the very heart of their strategy, and they've got some great brands to play around with, and there'll be some really interesting stuff, I imagine, coming out with things like Ben & Jerry's, Magnum. Pleasure Stores was pioneering, and I know that they will be thinking about how they can constantly evolve those concepts. So being able to tap into those really big brands that are doing some really interesting things, they'll be leading the way. While I said my mind went blank, there is actually some people doing some interesting stuff, but it's so far to go. This is really the very incubation stages, and I think that it'll be a really, really exciting area to watch.
Yeah, it's where the consumer and the brand meet, isn't it? To truly understand the brand history, the proposition, where it came from, and living that experience so you have that aspiration. It has to deliver a lot, really, those experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about experience, people do often think about kind of, the novelty factor, and worry that it's a bit flippant, and worry that, you know, can you tell the ROI on something? And I think that it's almost like you're asking the wrong question. Like, if you're just focusing on what is the ROI on an individual experiential activation, you're not really thinking about the customer experience as a whole entity in relation to all the touch points it has with your brand. It's a little bit like thinking about bricks and mortar stores in a sense of what is our direct ROI on sales on this particular unit, and that doesn't apply anymore.
No.
Retail units are gateways to your brand. They're a way of directly communicating with your customer. You should really be thinking about those as the way that you lure people in and you show people what you're about. And then if they go and buy online afterwards, then that should not be a problem for you, and you shouldn't be scared of it. You should be embracing that.
And I'll tell you who, just from a kind of personal experience, Loaf springs to mind. there, where they've really looked at, you know, how do consumers buy furniture, beds, mattresses, you know, soft furnishings? What are all the pain points? And they've mapped that in their experience, you know, online and offline. So kind of profile raising to bring you into outlet, looking at all the pain points, you know, trying to shop for a sofa with kids in tow. They've got games and ice cream machines and, you know, all the things that kind of keep them occupied. And not just the token table in the corner with some crayons, but actually thinking about all the different age groups of children. So they've got computer games and they've got colouring and they've got. They allow you to lay on the bed, obviously not in your pyjamas, because that would be the ultimate test. And as per the brand you mentioned earlier, you know, that's exactly where it's at, isn't it? Have a shower, put your pyjamas on, put your headspace on, you know, almost recreate the experience that you probably have at home. Well, I do anyways. And think about how you can overcome all those problems, you know, giving you the tape measure to go home and look at where that bed fits and then purchase online, because that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey. It's been mapped out after you've had the experience and you've been sold on that. And we've given you all the apparatus from a fabric sample and a tape measure that is exactly the dimensions of the bed to go home with. Now go online. As opposed to having, as you we were talking about earlier, transaction to transaction on just an item. It's the experience that comes with it.
And that's worked because they own their entire customer journey.
They do. You know, that's true.
They have a complete ownership of that, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they know how to communicate with their customers. They know when to communicate with them. And it's so this essentially kind of wholesale model, they don't have to worry about that because they're not losing out by somebody purchasing online. It's still part of the entire journey.
Yeah, they own. You're right. They do own the entire journey, which, you know, is rare. It's rare in today's world with the multiples and so on.
I mean, I think that there'll definitely be an increase in certain markets of D2C and people wanting to own their own journey and saying, actually, this is where we can do this. We can have more control. And it's interesting, kind of, I work in the luxury market as well. And, you know, yesterday Gucci announced that they weren't going to do fashion shows anymore. Along the schedule of the fashion weeks, which happened globally, because they felt like they were being forced to produce to a calendar that wasn't good for the environment, wasn't good for their creativity, wasn't good for how they produce collections. And they want to take back ownership of that process. And I think across the board, there's going to be an increase of people like changing the way that things have been done historically and not necessarily having to sell into whole big wholesale kind of department stores on seasons and stuff like that. And again, that's taking back a bit more ownership of how they decide they're going to communicate with their customers, because they know what they want. So the other great thing about experiential is you can learn more about your customers. If you're standing there and you have your own team there directly communicating with people, then you're going to find out what they want. There's nothing better than being able to speak to people face to face.
Yeah, it becomes a form of insight. And then the cycle goes round. The cycle goes round. So thank you so much for sharing all of your experiences today about the experiences. Badum-tsh. So, see what I did there?
Yep.
What would be your one key tip you would give to marketeers on their future activation?
I would suggest that they stop thinking about brand activations as a kind of separate tag on that they pass on to their PR agency to organise, and they make it at the very heart of their strategy. And they think about all the additional benefits that we've discussed today. So gaining insight, being able to directly communicate with your customer, you know, lots of different, being able to own that customer journey, and think about it so that it's something that you really implement from the very start of any kind of marketing strategy.
That's perfect. And actually, as I was writing down my summary notes of today's podcast, that was the one that I just wrote down. So aligned on that one. So if we look at, you know, topics that we cover today, and thank you, Meredith, for your time, we are looking at brands where consumers want to have a relationship and how we can use experience to bring that to life. Coming away from that transactional product experience and ensuring that you're offering an experience that goes with it, from product to experience. You need to have a mix of crazy and commercial. To have that creativity, you've got to have that air of curiosity. In order to map a true consumer experience, you have to think end to end, not online and offline. Insight is fundamental throughout this whole process, really understanding your consumers and what they want, but also using those experiences to allow you to gain insight. And make sure that it's not a separate tag on. Experiences aren't just there for PR, they are there for the actually for the consumers to build that connection.
I believe that's everything. I mean, what I would say is that a lot of brands and actually agencies that I speak to don't have the people that have the right skill set to be thinking about this, because it is something which is evolving. And so seek out those people that really understand the experience economy, really understand the benefits of these things and understand how to design an experience strategy that's going to give you the results that you need. So those are very specialist, but those people are out there.
And bringing it to life as well, isn't it? You know, it's great to have it on a drawing. It's a whole different thing to bring that experience that has been aspired to life with the same high quality that it has in the thought process.
Yeah, I mean, I think from that side of thing, I think people really worry about bringing things to life. And I would say that you shouldn't have to, because there's some amazing, amazing, amazing production companies out there and people that are really experienced. So if you have somebody that's designing that strategy for you and understands how this works in the whole ecosystem, they'll know the right people to bring those things to life and ensure that the quality reflects your brand. Ultimately, this is about you communicating as a brand who you are to people. And if you're a luxury brand, the experience needs to be luxury. And if you're a trainer brand, then it could be a bit maybe down and dirty. But essentially, that's all part of the design.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that top tip. Thank you for tuning in to the Whole Marketeer podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do click follow below for more weekly podcasts. Thank you.